You're listening to Not Another Business Show, inspiring entrepreneurs to think smart, not small.
LinkedIn is essentially a search engine and a database. If you're looking at consultants and entrepreneurs, what it is for them is it's an opportunity for them to be found. And be positioned correctly for their ideal audience and then connect with their ideal audience as well.
Not Another Business Show is brought to you by Daunted to Done, your virtual project manager. To implement and execute your business ideas, you need Daunted to Done.
It launched on May 5, 2003. At the end of July this year, Best Estimate said that LinkedIn had over 380 million users worldwide, with around 6 million of those being Australian profiles. There are two new members joining every second. In Q2 of this year, it was reported that 35 billion member pages had been viewed. Around 40% of LinkedIn users say they check their profile at least once per day. It's available in 20 languages. Over 15 million profiles are being looked at every day on a mobile device, and 50% of unique visitors will access it via a mobile device. Now, when you hear stats like those, you can't deny that LinkedIn is a force to be reckoned with in the social media space. I look at LinkedIn, though, as anything but social. In my opinion, it's quite possibly the largest weapon any small business owner has in their arsenal. So this week and next week, I want to peel back the LinkedIn wrapper and take a look at what it is, why we need to be using it, and how best to maximize your time and resources on the LinkedIn platform. You heard at the top of the episode from Kylie Chown explaining what LinkedIn is, and Adam Houlihan explained to me what he likes about the LinkedIn platform.
The thing I like about LinkedIn is that the average income of the entire LinkedIn community is over $100,000. The people that are on there are your real business-orientated people. Facebook, 1.3 billion or whatever people on there, but there's a big, big version of those that are kids and fake accounts and whatever. I'm not suggesting there's not fake accounts on LinkedIn. There certainly are. But I just find that the engagement and conversations and everything that you can have on LinkedIn are just at a much higher level. You can really connect with some exceptional people on there.
Most people I meet these days have a LinkedIn profile. And as Adam just said, in his opinion, the real business-orientated people are on LinkedIn. So why is it that most small business people I've spoken to would say that they aren't really using or working their profile? Today, the experts and I are pulling together practical strategies that you can put in place to maximize your impact on this fabulous little platform. Adam shared what he likes about the platform, and Kylie wanted to point out a couple of the big benefits of LinkedIn to small business owners.
A couple of things is that it's often cheaper and easier for them to set up than a website. So they can set up their LinkedIn profile at a lower cost than setting up a website. It gives them access to decision makers in their industry. So they can look at companies who they would like to target and have access to decision makers in those type of businesses.
Benefits are great, but let's face it. Small business just hasn't been using LinkedIn to capacity. When I first got chatting to Alex from Linkfluencer, which is the world's leading online community for LinkedIn training, I had to ask him why he thought small business owners and entrepreneurs just weren't as excited by LinkedIn as I think they should be.
I think LinkedIn have done a phenomenal job in building the largest professional site in the world. And I believe that their primary focus so far has been the bigger end of the market. So corporates who have the budget, have the finances and resources to pay to use LinkedIn more effectively. And obviously they're worth billions of dollars. So that's work for them. And I think at the same time, much like the government, the SMEs have been left out, not because they don't care, but I just think their main focus has been on the bigger end of town.
I've seen some pretty average profiles out there. But for people who work within the LinkedIn space, what are some of the things you see happening on LinkedIn that makes you cringe?
The biggest mistake would definitely be not building a relationship and promoting to people. Actually, the bigger mistake is having a profile that is incomplete, because that is more detrimental to your brand than not having one. So that's the top two. And third mistake, not using it as much as they should be.
Incomplete profiles and not taking the time to build relationships. Two of the topics we're definitely covering over the next 2 weeks. And Kylie, what do you see that makes you cringe?
Maintaining an awareness that it is it's a public space. So we don't want to put anything on there that we're not sort of happy with being out in the open. So it's an awareness of what is out there is potentially anybody can see that. So you want to make sure that it's truthful and that it's not compromising a company by putting in confidential information and things like that. That would be the first thing. The other thing that you can do is I see a lot of people with their connections, you can change your setting on it, which means that if we're not connected, I can't see who your connections are. So I say that it's probably a good idea just to keep your connections private to yourself. So that means only you can see them. Some people don't change that setting, and that means that if I'm not connected with them, I can go to your connections and see who that is. So impact for small business owner, if you're connecting with clients and things like that, then a competitor could potentially access your connections that way, but it's a really quick and easy thing to fix.
Hiding your connections is a really great tip, and one I'm not sure a lot of us had considered. It's easy enough to do by going into your profile, then into your privacy settings and looking for select who can see your connections. From there, you can choose to hide your connections from others, which is, I think, our first practical tip for this two-parter. Having heard the benefits and the things we should be looking to avoid on LinkedIn, and also knowing that most small business owners really aren't utilizing it anywhere near its potential, I figure it's time we start to change that. So, first things first, where should we start?
The first step is creating a plan. That's where I think people should be, because honestly, most people don't know their value or their purpose for being on LinkedIn. So in terms of creating a focus moving forward, I believe that true focus comes from having set the right foundation, and that creating a plan. So sit down, ask yourself, what's my outcome for using LinkedIn? Is it to drive more business? Is it to build my personal brand by getting media exposure? Is it to secure partnerships so I can have a consistent flow of leads coming in? Whatever that might be, have a clear outcome and then make sure that that outcome fits in line with your marketing objectives outside of LinkedIn. Because once you get clear on your outcome, then you know, okay, here are the people I need to connect with in order to meet that outcome. And then from that, you know exactly what type of profile to build. So in terms of creating focus, I think before you even do anything on LinkedIn, whether that's accepting invitations people sent you or sending more, sit down, get very clear on your path. And once that's clear, then you'll be surprised at what you can achieve on LinkedIn once you've got a very thought out plan.
Take some time to do your research, whether or not you have a current profile. Take a look at other profiles, those of your competitors, your associates. What do you like about their profiles and what don't you like? Are their profiles succinct or do they leave you unsure of what it is they do? If you're going to up your game in the LinkedIn space, though, before you do anything else, spend some time doing your research and putting your plan in place. Interestingly, though, Alex doesn't agree with my concept of research at all.
We've tested this across 55 different industries now and over 30 different countries. And what we've realized is 90% of people we come across out of the 10,000 people we've educated honestly don't know how to design their profile. And so it looks like a resume. And what we teach them is, okay, I'm your target market. I come onto your profile. I want to connect with you. Now, sure, you know, you can write about your achievements. You can put in your skills. You can put stars and love hearts and what have you. But really, all that stuff means nothing to me as your potential client. What I want to see is I want to see how you've solved the current challenge that I'm facing for other business owners, how you're an expert in the field that I'm looking for or the type of person that I'm looking for. As a potential person who's about to buy your product, I've got certain objections that I want to see that you've not only solved for other people, but you could potentially solve for me. Answer three questions. What makes you unique? Not your company, but you as an individual. And I even tell people I would not even research competitors. I couldn't care less about what my competitors are doing. I want to know what my value is in the market and how that adds significant value to my potential target market. So what makes you different as a person? What are the top three objections you normally face? And then what are the top three challenges you solve for your customer?
If you're taking notes, that's a great one to make sure that you have down. What makes you unique? What are the three biggest objections you face with your product? And what are the three top problems you solve for your customer? Start brainstorming your answers to these questions and you have the basis of a standout profile. Kylie refers to this as the three elements of a good profile.
A good LinkedIn profile for a small business owner would be, there would be the three elements to it. So a good profile would be found by their ideal audience. An ideal profile would then position them correctly in front of those people. So when their ideal audience is at their profile, they're going, wow, this person is awesome. Like, this is exactly what I need. So an ideal profile would have a strong call to action and a bit of a path for the reader to follow.
Remember last week in the digital marketing episode, Doyle Bueller said, if you're talking to everybody, nobody is going to be listening. That's what creating a great LinkedIn profile is about. Getting inside the head of your ideal client and talking directly to them.
The clearer picture that they have on who they want to talk to, the more clearly they can communicate their message to those people. That you can jump on Google and do searches and things like that. You know, you can talk to the clients you have and just sort of ask them about what sort of words they associate with you. And I guess the point there is too, is it's not words that you might necessarily use or industry, like really technical terms, if your clients don't use those type of words. It's really about using words that your clients would use.
I think you're starting to get the point here that in order to maximize your return on LinkedIn, you need to be strategic going in. And when it comes to creating your profile, be laser focused and don't just write it up like you're creating a resume. Before we move away from the topic of profiles, though, I wanted to get some opinions on your profile picture. So many professional LinkedIn pages I see have some cheesy holiday snap as their profile pic, or worse still, a photo taken from your website with an arm still draped around your shoulder, but the person cut out of the picture. So what's the deal with profile pictures for LinkedIn?
Well, here's the thing, Tracy.
This is Alex again.
Your first impression is either your best or last in today's business world. And you don't get a second chance to make a first impression. So it's highly competitive. It's very saturated. And, you know, if someone doesn't respond or connect with you, they'll just move on to the next person. And your personal brand is actually on the line. I'm dumbfounded because as business owners, we spend thousands of dollars and hundreds of hours on our website over time. And, you know, LinkedIn has now become so massive that your profile, LinkedIn profile, will come up first on most occasions before your website, which means people are going to look at your profile first. Now, if that first impression of you is a bad photo and a complete profile, then the chances of them wanting to investigate further is going to be little to none. And there's this term called TMOT in internet marketing terms, which is the moment of truth. And that's when someone searches for you, looks through a few links, a few websites, and then they'll come to this moment where they'll judge you and they'll put you into some sort of box. Now, that could be a very good box or it could be a very bad box. That really depends on what they see online. And that's why having a very compelling online profile, one being your LinkedIn profile, is absolutely paramount. And honestly, you're in business, you don't have a good Photoshop. It's to me, I still can't get around why people don't do it. Maybe because people don't check out their profile as much. If they actually saw how many profile views they're getting and how many of them are their potential target market, I think that view would change quite quickly.
Kylie wanted to chime in here about her thoughts on your choice of profile pic too.
There's been research that profiles, photos have 7 times more click-through than those who don't. People will see you digitally first, so that means that they'll look you up on LinkedIn or, you know, they'll Google you before they actually meet you in person. And sometimes you'll do all your, I guess, communication with a potential client or clients over the internet. So that's why I guess your profile photo really needs to be representative of how you want to be seen by your clients and your audience.
According to the research released in April of 2014, your profile is 11 times more likely to be viewed if you have a profile picture attached. There is one more person I wanted to weigh in on this LinkedIn profile photo conversation, though, because I really want you to understand just how much I hate the cheesy holiday snaps as LinkedIn profile pictures. And that's from Jason Mallowan. Now, he's a professional headshot photographer.
You know what? Honestly, the image of you with a dog is not the image to lead with. Not on LinkedIn, for example, because on LinkedIn you have so little real estate. You have so little space to make an impact that it needs to just be you, all you.
Hopefully I've got my point across about your profile picture. And if you're one of those people with a cheesy photo, you're going to book yourself a professional headshot and get that bit sorted. Okay, getting down off my soapbox now, I wanted to check in with Alex about connections. This one's baffled me somewhat. When I first signed up to LinkedIn, I used to guard my profile like a hawk. I'd only connect with people I knew or I'd done business with. Then I heard that to really have an effective LinkedIn profile, you need to hit the 500 plus connections. So I started being a bit more lax about it. So quality or quantity, what's the best strategy?
So yeah, we get this question asked a lot. And here's my take. I think it's limiting to believe that it's one or the other. Your network is your net worth. You look at some of the most influential people around the world. They've got a massive network. So to say that you should have quality over quantity, to me, doesn't really make any sense. And then also, you got to make sure that the people in your network are quality as well. You can have both if you follow these three metrics. So when you go out there and you start connecting with people on LinkedIn, look for their target market first and foremost. So don't just connect with anyone. Don't send out a connection invitation just to anyone. There should actually be someone who is going to help you achieve your marketing objectives, whether that's someone in the media, a partner, a client, etc. So when you go to this person's profile, there are two types of people, I believe, on LinkedIn. There are people who are curious, and then there are people who are serious. The people who are serious have a LinkedIn profile photo. They have over 150 connections, and they've filled out more than 50% of their profile. So if you look at those three metrics and they tick two out of those three, most often they are going to be a very good contact of yours. They're the ones that are going to respond to your connection invitation. They're going to respond to your emails on LinkedIn. They're going to engage with your blogs and your status updates. And those who don't have a photo and they don't have 150 connections or haven't completed their profile, really, they're not that engaged. So you could have 400 lawyers in Sydney, and that could be your target market. But out of the 400, 350 of them don't meet that criteria that I mentioned. It's just pointless. And you don't know whether your communication is wrong or whether they're just not on the network. So that's the formula that we recommend.
Anyone else hear that tweetable quote then? Your network is your net worth. I think I just had an Oprah aha moment. Kylie reminded me though, before today's podcast, maybe not everyone has a strong profile.
Read through their summary, read through their profile. They might not necessarily have a really strong profile. So as long as it's clear on what they do.
While we're on the subject of connections, oh, and as advance warning, I may be about to get back on my soapbox for a moment. My other big pet peeve on LinkedIn is people who don't personalize their connection request. These days, if I get a request, I will always check out the other person's profile, see what they do, and if there's a strategic fit to my LinkedIn purpose. But to just send me a, "I'd like to add you to my professional network," gives me a sinking feeling straight off the bat.
So absolutely personalize every request. And it's not about jumping on there and finding people and just like going like, "I've got this," and hammering them with information and wanting stuff off them. So I guess the point is that you've got to give information as well and give content as well. So it's a bit about educating people on what you do, but it's not necessarily always in a really salesy way. Absolutely. Personalized requests. You'll find that if you do personalized requests, you're going to get more connections accepting. And it just shows that you've shown an interest in the person. You know, "Hi, so-and-so, I just read your blog, or I read your article, or I read your post. I thought it was really great. I really agree with this. Would you like to connect?" And people then can see that you're interested in them as well, and you've taken the time to look at their profile rather than just spamming everyone.
If you go back to your strategy, you can begin to figure out who it is that you should be accepting connection requests from and who you should be looking to connect with. So I have one last question for this week. A number of my small business clients ask me, "But what about my small business starting a company page?"
Don't delete the company page.
Well, Alex doesn't mess about. So are there any good reasons for a small business to have its own company page on LinkedIn?
No point. Waste of time. It's actually detrimental to your brand because people like to, as much as we don't want to, we do judge people. If I see someone who's got a company page, they've got two employees, really you got to ask yourself, I'm about to send an email to 14,000 people on my database, or I'm about to introduce you to my clients. I don't feel confident all of a sudden doing that because I don't know whether you're going to have the capacity to actually deal with people. And we don't want to deal with people who have small one to two man operations. And if you don't have a big team, that's what the company page showcases. Also, the company page is limited on how you can interact with your followers. And third, and probably the most important, the reason why I say you should can your company page is because LinkedIn is a social network. You want to connect with people on a one-to-one level. People don't care about your company or the products within that company page. They want to buy into you, and that's why you should be using a profile to actually connect with people one-on-one. Unless you're Apple or Samsung, you got thousands of employees, and you got a well-known brand, yeah, sure, start a company page, but not at a startup level.
Well, I hope you've been taking notes. As we close out the first week of our double header LinkedIn episodes, there's been a number of practical strategies for you to take away and implement. Next week, we're going to talk about the cool strategies that you can use LinkedIn for. Things like lead generation and recruitment, partnerships and media. So go forth this week and put your plan in place. If you've never been on LinkedIn, set up a profile. If you have a profile, then before next week's show, see how you stack up with all the strategies Alex and Kylie talked about today. Oh, and please, check your profile picture is actually setting you up to build credibility. Maybe you have your own LinkedIn stories you'd like to share. I'd sure like to hear them. Continue the conversation. You can tweet me at NABS_podcast or on the Facebook page, Not Another Business Show. Or you can even send me a personalized request to my LinkedIn page, Tracy Sheen. A big thanks to my experts in part one of our exploration into LinkedIn. Alex from Linkfluencer, Kylie Chown, Adam Houlihan, the author of Secret Sauce, and Jason Mallowan from The Portrait Store. As always, though, the biggest thanks goes to you for listening in. If you are enjoying the show, why not share it with your friends and network? Maybe it's even worth a LinkedIn status update. And feel free to leave us a review on iTunes. We've been getting some great ones lately, so thank you, and we certainly enjoy hearing what you're liking about the show. Till next week, I'm leaving you with a quote from Jeff Weiner, CEO of LinkedIn. Facebook is massive in scale and scope. Twitter is a public communication forum. But if I'm following you, you're not necessarily following me. LinkedIn is simply a professional network.